So a couple Wednesdays ago, and I don't remember which snowstorm it was. I think it was the one two Wednesdays ago where it sort of snowed in the middle of the day and no one was sort of planning on it, and for some reason they didn't plow. And remember, traffic was horrible, and I found myself driving my work van, which is two-wheel drive and likes to pretend it's a drift car whenever there's any snow or moisture. I'm serious. There's something about those work vans. I've had three of them in a row now that, like, in a snow or even like in the right rainstorm, you sort of never get them straight. They're sort of like, whoa, and then you turn the other way and like, whoa, they always go sideways. So I found myself driving, and all of a sudden I was 10 and 2. Phone in my pocket, you know, radio down, never even thought of drinking coffee. And usually I'm drinking coffee and like fixing a burger on a little hibachi and like texting. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't tell you this. But all of a sudden in that snowstorm, man, I was 10 and 2, probably the first time since driver's ed and the last time that Northern Regional cop like rolled in behind me. I'm always like, and I don't even know if that matters, but all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, 10 and 2. And here's the thing. I was thinking about that. Like, when times are bad or when it's, like, really dangerous. And, man, that was a hairy sort of snowstorm, wasn't it? It was strange because it wasn't like it snowed so much. It just snowed at the wrong time. And I had to end up going across town. And it just seems like there were just wrecks everywhere. And, man, you know, nobody called me and said, hey, better 10 and 2. But all of a sudden, I was 10 and 2. Now, I'll admit to you, I'm a huge 10 and 2 hypocrite. Because I'm going to teach my daughter to drive here in the next few months. She's turning 16 this summer, hard to imagine. And I'm going to teach her to drive 10 and 2. I mean, that's the first thing I'm going to tell her. Both hands on the wheel, look straight ahead. Don't you dare get your phone out. Don't mess with the radio. I just want you holding on to that wheel, looking straight forward, and that's the way I'm going to teach her. And that's the way Mrs. Rudy taught me when I took driver's ed. And I think I did that until I got my license. And then, like, the first time my girlfriend got in the car, I forgot there was even, like, one hand had to go on the steering wheel. So I'm a huge hypocrite. I fully, fully admit that. And here's the thing. Like, most of us don't drive 10 and 2, right? Like, most of us don't drive like this. I've seen a couple of you. I see the sticker on the back of your car, and then I go past, and you're like, 3 and 1. Moms drive like this, race car drivers like this. There's like new drivers. I won't tell you what this is, but check out your personality online. And I realize I'm about a 1 o'clock, and then the other hand is always like eating or texting or something. I'm sorry. But here's the thing. I believe in 10 and 2. I was trained 10 and 2. I'm going to teach my daughter 10 and 2, but most of us don't most of the time because truthfully, times have changed. Now, we actually looked this series up in Urban Dictionary the other day. I was like, and here's why it's a good idea to do this if you're older. I asked the guys, I go, do you know if 10 and 2 means something else? Like, I'm just old enough. I'm like, we should find out, right? If, like, this is something horrible and I'm going to preach about it for 5 weeks. You know, I'd like to know that. I'd like to know what they're laughing at least, you know? So we did. We were in a meeting, and so Josiah Urban Dictionary, you know, like, we need to find out if that means something. But it actually said, I was laughing because it said the old way that new drivers were instructed before the advent of airbags, because now I guess they teach you 9 and 3 so your hands don't get blown off by the airbag, but I'm still 10 and 2 and I'll still teach. But so times have changed, obviously. And quite frankly, technology has changed, right? Like, when I was trained, 10 and 2, I had no idea that cars would basically drive themselves at some point. In fact, I was riding with somebody in our family that had a brand new Honda, and it kept flashing the coffee cup up on the dash. And I was like, is it reminding you to drink more coffee? Because I don't think my car needs that. And he's like, no, it thinks I'm sleepy because I'm looking at you and not looking at the road. And so it just kept flashing a big coffee cup. And so we had no idea sort of, you know, like what cars could do in the future. And I know that, like, some of you are going to tell me, like, very soon we won't have to drive at all and your whole 10 and 2 analogy is not going to work at all. And I get that. But I know humans too. I was talking to somebody who has one of the newest self-driving, not self-driving, but auto help you drive, I don't know what to call it. And they said that they pinch the sensor because it needs to know you actually still have your hands on. He said, so if you just pinch the, I won't tell you who, the name is Josiah. I said, if you just pinch the sensor, I'm ratting him out. He's not here today. If you just pinch the sensor, it thinks you're paying attention and it'll take care of it. But that's just the way humans are. And in fact, it's funny. The person I know that is most jazzed about like all the new technology and car is my 82-year-old dad. He still has two flip phones because he hasn't figured out smartphones or that you could have two lines on a phone. So he looks like the oldest drug dealer in the world with two burners on his belt. But here's the thing about it, like he's so excited because he's like, son, if I can get down the driveway and like sort of point in the right direction, it takes me there. I'm like, I don't think that's the way it's designed, but good for you, you know. And he's like, yeah, I put on, you know, adaptive cruise and it keeps me from hitting the people in front of me. And that, you know, but it is very, very helpful. Like, and he said, it keeps me in my lane. And it'll even tell me like, you've passed your destination. He said, I almost forgot, like didn't come home. And I was like, oh man, this is not good. But here's the thing, like it's amazing. So technology is definitely change. But in spite of all that, in spite of the fact that I'm a big hypocrite and times have changed and technology has changed, I don't mean to bum you out, especially since you're going to be driving home in the snow. I'm sorry to tell you this. But when we're moving along at 70 miles an hour, we're going about 100 feet a second. 100 feet a second hurtling towards someone going the opposite direction at possibly that same. But don't worry, there's a painted yellow line to keep them away from you in the middle. So it doesn't hurt to have both hands on the wheel, does it? Probably not a bad idea. But here's the reason why most of us don't drive 10 and 2, even though most of us were trained that. Or even 9 and 3. Or 6 and 12. I don't know like how you were trained. You went to a weird school. 1 and 7. I don't know. That wouldn't actually be too bad. But here's the thing. Like however you were trained, the reason why you and I probably don't actually stick with the way we were trained, the reason why we probably don't actually drive 10 and 2 is because this. And I said, you probably don't want to put this on Facebook because it probably sends it, but you're not going to crash probably. Truthfully, you can pull away from getting your license even at 16, and whoa, you take one hand off the wheel and pretty much nothing happens. You're probably not going to crash. It's like it would be very different if the first time you took your, you know, one hand off the wheel, it careened into the ditch and you're like, whoa, I won't do that again. But that's not what happens. That's not the way life works. Like most of the time, now, clearly, there are times when it would be a great idea to have two hands on the wheel. And clearly, if everybody had two hands on the wheel, there'd be less accidents, right? Because this is ironic and sad, but I use my voice at least. I actually Googled distracted driving statistics while I was driving. I'm not going to lie to you. I actually did that. And I didn't even realize it till later. I'm like, oh, you did that while you were driving home. That probably, but 7,000 people. It's 9 people a day, 3,400 people a year die from distracted driving. I don't know why I laughed. That's horrible. But I mean, think about that. Like the statistics are 3,400 families. Someone in their family dies. And this is not like, this is actually those boiled down, like the real stat for that. That they found that it was actually not, we just attributed it that, but so they were distracted, they looked away, both hands were not on the wheel, they were not paying attention. And so it's not a bad idea, but here's the thing, like the truth is you can take your hand off the wheel and you're probably going to be fine. And what exacerbates that is if everyone else is paying attention, you can even get away with being distracted. As I've been thinking about the series for the last month, like sort of thinking ahead to the series, it's like I'm noticing driving. I'm noticing how badly I drive. In fact, teaching my daughter to drive, and we think that's going to, because Michelle and I are older, and we had her when we were older, and so I think it's going to work out perfect training her to drive, because like 6 months after she gets her license, they're going to take our licenses away, because like we've been driving so long that we don't pay attention to anything, and she's just like realizing what bad drivers we are now. And I was even telling her, like, I'm a good driver. I'm an excellent driver. And I'm like, literally, I'm like, I'm an excellent driver. I don't have wrecks. And she's like, you hit two of our neighbors. And I was like, you're right. Other than that, I really did. I told you about this, like last year, me and my neighbor were backing out, and we backed out exact, like synchronized backing out of our driveways. We looked right, we looked left, and we ran into each other and had a huge accident in the middle of our road. Now when I see him like getting his car, I'll wait, and then we just wait each other out. It's like a standoff. We just sit there idling forever because our wives really yelled at us that we did that. But I hit one of my neighbors doing that, and the other one I didn't really hit. Well, I did hit my neighbor's mirror. Anyway, so I have hit two of our neighbors. But other than that, I'm an excellent driver. But here's the thing. When everybody else is paying attention, you can sort of get away with not paying attention, right? I noticed that this past few weeks, like I've had two times when someone, I saw them look, and then they looked past, and I'm like, they're going to go. Have you ever had that feeling? You could tell they're just going to pull out in front of you, and I thankfully slowed down and didn't just like T-bone them. And another time I saw a guy starting to pull out and I was like, oh my God, I gotta go. And so I just floored it in our neighborhood and was able to avoid hitting yet another one of our neighbors, thankfully. But great way to meet the neighbors though. It works out great. But here's the thing, like if everyone else is paying attention, you'll probably get away with it. And so that's the situation that we have in driving. And quite frankly, I think it's a good analogy for now. Now you might tell me, hey, soon we'll have autonomous cars. Maybe. That would be great. And soon, you know, nobody will be allowed to drive. And I get it. Like, maybe this analogy won't work 2 years from now, 10 years from now. But right now, I think it's a good picture of something else. A good picture of sort of imagining this other situation that we deal with as Americans, and especially as Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not someone who believes in Christ or follows Christ, you are so welcome. And I think you're super open-minded to listening to someone like me. And so you don't have to buy anything I say, but if you are a Christian this morning, if you've decided, like, I am a follower of Jesus, Jesus is the boss, I am not, then we deal with something in America that's very interesting, and I think that's a good way to look at it is that we have another 10 and 2. We have 10 commandments and 2 commandments. Now, I'm going to go back over these, and I want to sort of read them to you and remind them of, but most of you know them. Most of you grew up, if you grew up in church, maybe you were taught these from a very young age. And so I thought we'd just review really quickly these powerful, powerful things. Over 6,000 years of people, not everyone, but people following 10 commandments or 2 commandments. Here's the 10 commandments. And I put these sort of in list form, not in the scriptural form, because it makes it a little easier to read. Number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Number 2, you shall make no idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Number 5, you can say that on the way home, parents. you shall not murder. That's for you, parents. 7, you shall not commit adultery. Also, parents. I better stop. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If he hits you, tell the truth about it. I hit him. You shall not covet. You shouldn't want your neighbor's self-driving car. So that's the 10 commandments. That's the 10 commandments. Now, years later, Jesus was having a conversation, and it's a conversation that would probably interest some of you because some of you are not even sure this morning of like, well, those are God's commands to the Israelites in the Old Testament of the Bible. Do we still have to do those? In fact, so they kind of asked Jesus the same thing. They said to Jesus, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? If you had to choose, I don't think it was his favorite commandment. I don't know if you have a favorite commandment. But what's the most important thing? And Jesus said this. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these 2 commandments. So, 10 commandments, 2 commandments. Now, I think I did that backwards. 10 commandments, 2. No, I did it right. 10 commandments, 2. Now, actually, if you sort of dig in this a little bit, really it's more 2, 4, 6. And here's why I say that. Because basically there's 4 of the commandments which were based on So we're all sort of on the same path there, if you've never thought of this. Based on our relationship with God. So the first four commandments are, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, Jesus was brilliant. Say what you want about Jesus, and one of the things that's interesting to me is the people say there was no historical Jesus. That's impossible. There's too much written about him. Whether or not he was the Son of God, I certainly can't prove to you, and I believe he was. But the idea of no historical Jesus, I think an honest professor would say there seems to be a lot written about this guy and for this guy. There was a historical Jesus. So no matter what, you have to go, what a brilliant, uneducated carpenter, because somehow Jesus managed to turn 10 commandments into just two commandments. He managed to boil all of them down into these two commandments. So think about this, like the original 10 commandments, and these were the commandments that God gave to the people of Israel when they're rescued from Egypt. They've been slaves, they've grown up, they've known nothing but slavery. All of a sudden they're free and building their own nation in this, you know, as free people. And he said, here's 10 things. You could base your whole society around these 10 things. And so the first four are, you shall have no other gods before me. So if you think of this sort of in the negative sense, negative of this is, don't worship anybody but God. Don't worship anyone, no other gods. Now, you and I think that sounds strange. It's really not, because we worship all sorts of things today. In fact, all of us worship, I will argue later in the series. But in their case, it was other nations had other gods. And so he's like, you shall have no other. Negative part of that would be, negative way to say that would be, no other gods but me. Just worship me. And Jesus said, no, love God. Like, you wouldn't worship other gods if you just love God. Same thing with, don't make any idols. So if having no other gods before me is don't worship anyone else, this is not worshiping anything else. Don't let anything come between your worship of God. And so the negative would be, don't make an idol. And Jesus would go, no, same answer as before. Love the Lord your God. Like, you wouldn't have something else that you put before God. And that's what worshiping an idol is. We like to think it's like, oh, I would have to make like a bird with 8 elephant arms or something, and that would be an idol. No, no, no. Anything that you would put before God that's a thing would be an idol. And so Jesus turned the negative into the positive. No, just love God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This had a far wider meaning than we think of it. We think of it as meaning like, don't use God's name as a cuss word. That's real. He doesn't want to be name dropped in that way. But it was also, don't use God's name in a positive way that is not connected with honoring him. Which gets really tricky, because what they would say is like, we certainly shouldn't use God's name to sell a product, or God's name to sell ourselves to other believers, or very, very, in fact, if you notice like in the way that they would write, they wouldn't even write God's complete name. They put like an asterisk in the middle. Like, they were very, very serious about name, not name dropping God. But once again, Jesus took that negative, ooh, we must not use God's name in vain, to just love God. Love God, honor God. Like, you wouldn't, like, let's say you had a really famous friend. If you really cared about them, not only would you not use their name in a bad way, but you wouldn't name drop their, like, someday Eli will go, hey, I knew Eli back when he played at Action Church, maybe. Like, you wouldn't name drop them to get into something that would cause them shame either. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, this one, it's funny, because as Americans, we think of this as so restrictive. It's interesting to think about, like, in the context it was given. He's literally telling slaves to take a day off. It's pretty, I mean, like, we go, oh, I got to take a Sabbath day. I can't work, or I can't be, you know, I can't. And he was like, hey, slaves that work 7 days a week, take a day off, but don't just, like, make it about yourself. But take a day where you actually focus on life being more than work, and you focus on your worship of God, and you focus that you are part of an amazing creation. And Jesus turned that into simply love God. See, if you loved God, you'd want to make him part of your week. You couldn't possibly, you know, try that with your kids, or try that with your wife or your husband, like, hey, I love you, but you are zero part of my week. sorry, I've got no space for you in my calendar. We never see each other. We never talk. We never spend time together. I never come home. But don't let that make you think that I don't love you, because it's just simply not true. That's how we deal in our relationship. Now, the other six commandments, and this is where Jesus, once again, like, believe what you want about Jesus. Jesus was a brilliant uneducated carpenter, because he somehow managed to sort of take all of these commandments and boil them down into really, honor your father and your mother. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, and your neighbor is everyone. So if you loved everyone the way you loved yourself, you would honor your father and mother, right? Because it stinks being a father and mother. I don't know if you know that. Like, your kids think it's great. Like, man, I can't wait till I'm a dad. I'll get to tell people what to do. The problem is, if you're the dad or your mom, you have to tell people what to do. It's no fun. So, you know, and it's funny, because I used to think that as well. Like, you think, oh my goodness, it'd be great to be in charge. It's terrible. And so what Jesus is saying is, like, love them so that someday, if you would just honor them, even though you don't want to, even though you think they're tyrants, even if they are wrong, because they're going to be. But guess what? Someday you'll hope that your children honor you. And it's interesting, one thing that's, I think, better in the original writing of the Ten Commandments, it says, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you on this earth, or that it may be well with you. And just imagine that. Like, that sounds so simple, but wouldn't children who have not experienced much of life, they may be smarter than us, and yes, you guys in the youth loft, you're all smarter than us, but you haven't experienced life yet. So this ancient document says, I got an idea. Like, if you haven't experienced life and you don't have any experience, maybe listen to the two people on this planet who love you most and have way more experience than you, just by the nature of their relationship. They've lived longer than you. Listen to them, and they'll try to tell you the right thing to do, because they love you more than anyone else, and it'll go better for you. And you go, yeah, but see, Jesus still boiled that down into just love them as yourself. You shall not murder. Pretty much the same thing. Like, hard to murder someone you love just in a loving way, a loving murder, which kind of cracks me up. You know, we talk about hate crimes, like, pretty much thought they're all hate crimes. I know that's not a popular thing to say, but it's like, you don't love people if you murder them. Same thing with, you shall not commit adultery. Try to commit adultery with someone that you really care about, their spouse. No, don't. That's a terrible way to do it. That was dumb. Like, don't try. I don't know. There's two negatives and you're going to do it. Don told me I should try. No. But think about it. Like, if you really loved, this is going nowhere and I didn't plan that. But like, if you really loved someone's spouse, you wouldn't want to put them through the pain of adultery, would you? And truthfully, if you love the person you say you love when you just mean physically you want them, like, you wouldn't do that either, because you wouldn't want to put them through the pain that comes from breaking a family up for adultery. So Jesus is brilliant here. You shall not steal. You don't steal from people you love. Like, you don't take something from them, because when you love them, you're like, oh, I want this and I need this. But guess what? They're going to miss it. Or even if they don't miss it, like, all of a sudden they don't trust someone and they feel targeted. And so, like, you can't steal from people if you love them, truly love them. And it goes without saying, as you go through this list, like, oh, bear false witness, lie about someone, you know, slander them, ruin their good name, put them through that pain and that hassle and that. No, I couldn't do that if I really loved them. And coveting's become a great big part of our world. It's called marketing. But what Jesus said is, if you really love people, it would be impossible to want to take what they have, even if they have more than you, because it'd be like stealing. And you would somehow manage to be happy for them having that. And so here's the thing: when you read through that, you go, oh, number one, you have to go, none of those things would be bad. You know, none of those things are like, yes, I'm going to vote for most of those things. Number two is, Jesus was brilliant. But I also, as I read those, I go, man, I am a giant, fat hypocrite when it comes to that. Because I've learned that from a child, and I've taught that as a preacher. But if I could make it through half of, I'm not going to say half, I don't know how many of the commandments I've broken, probably all except for murder. But I certainly, well, I better rethink that. My wife's going to be really mad. Okay, and adultery. And I'm not just saying that. That turned out really badly too. I got to start thinking about these things. Think about the other ones. Yeah, those two. But other than that, like, and I definitely broken the other two. I've definitely not loved the Lord my God with all my heart, and I certainly haven't loved my neighbor as myself. But yet, I'm going to continue to teach my kids that. I'm going to teach my grandkids that. I'm going to teach you that as often as you listen, because I think it's a better way of living. And here's the truth. I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't think most of us keep the commandments most of the time. You know, maybe we'll have a good week now and then, or maybe we'll make a few resolutions and we're going to be a better man, or we're going to, or honestly, the thing that happens is just like driving, like we run into a really scary patch and whoa, 10 and 2. And the cop pulls in behind us, or the snowstorm comes, and we're, whoo, 10 and 2, like we never left. And we're like, but here's the thing, times have changed. Times have changed a lot since Jesus made his brilliant sort of analysis of the original 10. And times have definitely changed since God told Moses. We can't even imagine. It sounds like something from Lord of the Rings. I mean, it sounds like a science fiction story. God met Moses on a mountain and wrote these 10 rules in stone, these 10 laws in stone, and Moses came down the mountain and glowed because he'd been there. It sounds crazy. It was funny, though, because I thought, well, I'm just going to Urban Dictionary the 10 Commandments because I want to see what they say about that. They're probably totally, and they're completely right. So that totally ruined my analogy. But even though times have changed, somebody, some preacher has been writing on 10 Commandments because they basically perfectly caught the definition, as I would say anyway. But times have definitely changed. And technology has changed. Technology has changed everything, and not just the Bible app. Like, you know, instead of, Moses was the first guy to download something on a tablet. I know I say that, that's a dad joke, but I mean, like, our Bible, I'm reading this from a tablet this morning, and it's just amazing. Like, technology has completely changed, but it's not just about how we read the Bible. I mean, technology has changed what we think it means to steal. What does it mean to steal? Like, they would have no concept of, like, stealing music or stealing movies or stealing all the things that you're starting to feel uncomfortable about when I talk about that. But what does it mean to commit adultery? Well, Jesus, later on, I don't want to spoil the end of the story for you, but he's like, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, that's like committing adultery. And he had no idea we'd have tablets like this. And so technology has changed everything. What's it mean to bear false witness about our neighbor? You know, we don't have to just say it to someone else. We could, like, post something now. And so technology's definitely changed the way we look at these. But I keep thinking this, like, when you're hurtling toward death at 1,400 feet per second, because that's how fast the earth turns, roughly. I rounded for you. And that's what we're all doing, right? Like, I mean, I don't want to bum you out any more than I've bummed you out already this morning, but we're all hurtling toward death. It's happening. Leave on that. Let's just pray. But it doesn't hurt, right? It doesn't hurt to have both hands on something. Like, it probably doesn't hurt to just sort of not go through life just like seeing what happens. That doesn't seem like a good plan. So maybe I would say at least these commandments, like, whoa, they've been around a long time. They're some of the oldest writings you're ever going to read. Like maybe they have some wisdom that is held up. Why did so many millions of people keep them over the years? But here's the reason why we don't. It's because you probably won't crash if you take your hands off 10 and 2 for just a moment. In fact, for years. Like, you can disobey these commandments, because we all do, and we all admit that. And life might go pretty well for you. Especially if you live in a country where a lot of other people are sort of keeping them, at least, right? Like, you might be able to steal and completely get away with it and add to your bottom line. But if you lived in a world, and in fact some of us do, if you live in a neighborhood where everybody's stealing from everyone else and you see like the chain and nothing, you always see the chain and they're like, there's no bicycle, there's no grill there, there's just the chain and they took the lock. Like, if you live in that neighborhood or you live in that world, all of a sudden you go, man, this whole stealing thing is serious. Like, when everybody steals everything, when nobody pays attention to that do not steal, life gets really awful. And I will tell you this morning, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this idea that part of the reason why we sort of struggle with this as Americans is because there's still a lot of people that are sort of at least following these commandments or the ideas of these commandments. And so you can sort of be distracted, and even though your distraction as a driver not only could harm you, it could harm others around you. If everybody else is paying attention, you might just get away with it. And I would say the same is true of the commandments. And here's something else I have to tell you, because if you walk away from this morning, you go, oh, Don says I should keep commandments, then you completely miss it as well, because commandment keeping, it won't make your life perfect, and it won't even get you into heaven. So I have to tell you that, because that'd be a huge bummer if you thought you could keep the commandments, because Jesus came to a commandment-keeping people, or at least trying to commandment-keep, and they were better at keeping the commandments probably than any of us in this room. And in fact, Jesus said, unless we were more righteous than the Pharisees, then the Pharisees were really annoying, but they were professionally good. And Jesus spent on one hand most of his time like just annoying them and saying bad things about them. But he said, unless you're better than they are, you're never going to make it in heaven, because you got to keep every commandment every time your whole life. And so commandment keeping, it won't save you and it won't make you have a perfect life. Now, but here's the alternative. Like, no hands on the wheel isn't a good idea either, right? Like, as much as you might go, well, I don't have to drive 10 and 2, I'm more of a, you know, just a 2 guy, or I'm just a 10 guy. But here's the thing, like, no hands on the wheel, that's a bad idea, right? Like, let's watch this, let's find out for sure. Oh, come on, you guys are far too nice. That's a redneck. We can still laugh at rednecks. So I'm going to play it again and, like, be real about this, okay? Oh. Now, see, that's real, right? Like, so that's not a good idea. And as the whitest 50-year-old man you've ever met in your marriage, I would like to say that ghost riding that whip is not a good idea, right? I can say that, right? But here's the thing. Like, it's really not between 10 and 2 and ghost riding that whip. It's really not. It's really not, in America at least. I mean, there are a few idiots like that guy. There are a few idiots that go, hands off the wheel, I'm going to break every commandment by noon. And we know that leads to disaster, but that's not where most of us are. Most of us are somewhere where we still sort of, and we'll talk about this a lot this month, like, most of us would say, here's the deal. I don't really want to follow the God part of the commandments, and I hope this month I can convince you that they might be the most important part, but I don't really want to follow the God part of the commandments, but I think you probably should follow the rest of them, And at least I hope my neighbors do, right? Like, even if I mess up, because I'm not perfect, I'm human. Like, even if I mess up, like, I hope my neighbor believes in not committing adultery with his neighbor's wife, because that's going to affect me and I'm going to be angry. Like, and I hope my neighbor believes the do not steal thing. And I hope he believes the do not covet thing, because I just got a sweet boat and I don't want him talking bad about me on Facebook. And so, like, all of these things, like, somewhere we got one hand at least. And so we need to figure out, as Americans and as Christians especially, what do we do in a world as more and more people sort of mock or ignore the commandments? More and more people go, that's ridiculous, that's old. What do you do? Now, I can't wait. I'm going to have the band come back up here. And I don't know, there's just this weird moment I had, like, when they were playing, it was so good, and I, like, reached for a lighter I haven't had in, like, 25 years. It was amazing. But I want to leave you with this idea, and I want to pray for you. Because this is an important question that we need to work on as a church and as a people. Because there's a lot of different solutions that have been tried over the years. Like, when a people starts moving away from sort of 10 and 2, you know, we could legislate. We could go, hey, everybody, two hands on the wheel. It's the law. That's just like, you know, seat belts, or which generally cars fix seat belts. It's just so annoying not to wear them in most cars. But here's the thing. Like we could legislate, and when we do that, we kind of go, well, we can't make people do the God part, but we can at least make them do the, you know, the people part. And we certainly can't legislate love, so it doesn't work out very well. Or maybe we sort of, like, we're going to preach at people or shame people. Here's where we start. And I want to start with this thing this week, and then we'll move forward and kind of working through this thought problem and this problem that we have. What would you do if more and more people on the roads of York County were ignoring 10 and 2? Like, more and more distracted drivers, because that's what we see from statistics. More and more people looking at their phones. Have you noticed how long it takes to start at a stoplight now? Like, it's driving me crazy, and I'm the guy doing it. But, like, it's the thing, like you know, because everybody's like, oh, I got to close Facebook, and then I'll take off, and the light's already yellow, and you're honking, and it's crazy. But here's the thing, like, what would you do? Well, probably you would have to pay more attention, right? And what Jesus said would probably work, because what Jesus said is you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And we're going to talk about working through, like, what that means and how to do that. But a second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Like, see, I would think that if more and more people are distracted and less people are sort of following 10 and 2, at least for our own, you know, safety and ability to live and flourish, we would go, well, I'm going to have to. I can't really decide what everybody's going to do in their car, but I could do something here. I got to change the things about me that I'm like, oh, I'm far too distracted as I hurtle at 1,400 feet per second toward death. So I want to pray with you. And I want to start you thinking, and maybe we can figure this out. I think Scripture has some amazing thoughts. And I will tell you, like, we're going to dig into Scripture, and we're going to dig into sort of culture, but not in, like, hey, blaming culture for what's going on. But we need to figure out how to live in that world. And some of this is just, I'm just going to tell you each week, like, this analogy may not work. It's just my analogy. I just made that up. But I think at least it gives us a handle on going, what happens when more and more people leave 10 and 2? Dear Lord, let's pray. God, we are so, so grateful for your wisdom and your mercy for us. God, I'm a lawbreaker, a commandment breaker, and I do not love you with all my heart all the time, and I do not love my neighbor as myself. God, I pray that you would help us to be a light and a good force in a world that is more and more distracted. And God, not just an annoying voice to sort of scold everyone, but a different type of people with our hands on the wheel in a very different way. God, I pray for everyone here today. God, I know it's not a mistake that they're here. And I know we all live in the same culture that seems to move further and further away from these commandments, but yet want to hold on to the benefits of them. And so, God, I pray that we would be a force for a positive change in that. In your name we pray. Amen.